Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you with another Homes Alone edition. Zoom, zoom. It's Thursday, January 30th, 2021. And my guests today are Matt Fernandez, Brian Simpson, and Greg Wyszynski.
Woo!
Yay. Yeah.
Hello, gentlemen. Let's meet everybody alphabetically and individually, starting with returning champ from Orlando, the Orlando show we did a few weeks ago. He won it. He's here, there, now. It's Matt Fernandez. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
It's going good. Did I give you a nickname yet?
No, but I'm dying to get one. I didn't know that was on the table.
I'm thinking, how do you feel about polar bear?
Because I'm big and white. I get it. Yeah. I
understand. Yeah. Yeah. And we recently watched Roadhouse together, and it has the classic closing line where the guy says, a polar bear fell on me.
Yeah, that was a great time. I didn't even think of that either. Yeah, we just watched Roadhouse.
It's true. So polar bear is perfect for you. Thanks for being here. You were going to, you know, return to the Miami show, but we got postponed in Miami. That show is now going to happen in April. And, you know, we'll discuss whether or not Matt can be there when the time comes. Yeah, who knows? You know, you might blow up Shue between now and then and, you know, be on some sort of tour or something and not be able to drop everything and go to Doral, Florida. Also joining us today is a first-time guest, a hilarious comedian. The Stand-Ups is available now on Netflix, and he is one of them. It's Brian Simpson. Hello, Brian.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, you know, just making these podcasts from home still. You know,
are you over it?
I like it. I like not, you know, just being able to do this from home. But like, I think as a listening experience, it's less fun than the, you know, the shows we normally do with an audience. 'Cause this show from the beginning has been a live audience podcast. So when they hear episodes without all the laughter and stuff, it's, you know, people are a little less into it, but I appreciate the people still listen. And I like that I can get guests together from wherever they happen to be. Like, it's easier for people to just jump on their device for an hour from wherever they are. But your Netflix, the stand-ups is, how many comics are in the batch this time?
Six. It's always six.
Six. So six is the third season of it, I guess, and six comics. And all I need to know is that you're one of them. So all six are available now. So all you got to do is just go find Brian Simpson's. What are they, about an hour or half hour?
They're half hours. Yeah.
Half hours. That's awesome, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And has your life changed in the day that it's been out?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to respond to everyone, but you know, it's kind of impossible.
Yeah. No, you get a lot of feedback. Yeah,
but I've responded to about 1,000 people so far.
Oh man.
Wow.
Bunch of nerds going, "You're great, but that one premise, I feel like."
Oh no, you know what? No. I don't reply to any negative people. Like, if it's like, you know, if you don't like my comedy, that's, you know, that's your prerogative. But like, I'm not gonna give you my energy.
Yeah, no, you should be like an audience member at a show where the comedian doesn't really know your opinion. They just, you know, they just heard everyone else laughing and moved on with their lives.
Yeah, you can laugh or not. That's the option. But the people that take the time to say something positive, like message me, I try to message them back.
The people who message people on about their displeasure in comedy are like people that, like, at the show, they'd just be sitting there with their arms crossed. So you'd know they weren't into it, but you also wouldn't have to talk to them about it if you didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but don't get mistaken. Like, every now and then I wake up, you know, and I go, you know what? I got time today.
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, you think you want me to respond to you, but you really don't.
Right. Yeah. You woke the sleeping giant. Yeah, the trolls don't need the giant to wake up and stomp on them.
Yeah, because I'm petty. I'm petty that way sometimes.
Oh yeah, no, it can get pretty vicious. I like these new messages that pop up on the socials that say, "Remember, there's a human being on the other end of this conversation." Right. Like what? Get it? Shut up! They're not human beings most of the time.
Right, right. Exactly. It's like yeah. Instagram. How do you know that?
Yeah. How do you know Instagram?
How human they are.
They do know a lot, unfortunately. Or
like, can you imagine somebody like running up in Instagram's headquarters with weaponry, but they all have signs on their chest to go, "Remember, I'm a human being."
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Don't forget that I'm a person.
Keep that same energy, Instagram.
And we have another returning champ on the show today. A lot of competition for you today, Brian. It's Greg Slapshot Wyszynski.
Yay. You gave me grief for the good people at NPR Morning Edition not referring to me by my given Doug Loves Movies nickname when they had me on.
Why wouldn't they do that? It seems like it's ready to go.
Well, it's very stuffy. It's NPR. It's very stuffy. You know, they don't have time for fun-ass nicknames like Slapshot.
Where does Slapshot come from?
Well, I'm a hockey writer. I write hockey for ESPN. I wrote hockey for ESPN before we got all the games, and now I write more of it because we have all the games. It's an honor to be. Can we do reverse alphabetical order at some point, just because I feel like I'm back in elementary school?
You do always get through with this. I mean, not only are you in the W's, but the second letter is a Y. It is
insane. It sucks. Yeah.
It is so deep in the alphabet.
I owed my sanity in elementary school to a girl named Holly Ziegler. She was the only one keeping me from being dead ass last on all those.
Wow, Ziegler.
Shout out to the Z.
And then people always just end up calling you Ski for short.
No, they went the other way. They went Wish, actually, which is the other way you can go with that.
That's
one.
A cool nickname. I never have cool nicknames.
No, man, Wish is pretty not bad.
I think the coolest people don't have cool nicknames because it's hard to put a label on.
It's. I mean, but my name is people. Some people just go B.
Right.
And then I had friends at some point, they started calling me simp without knowing that that was like an insult. So all my friends in the military call me big simp, even though they don't, because they didn't know what it meant when they started saying it. And then they realized that I hated it. So they just kept doing it.
Right. That's the trouble with some nicknames, is that they, when they realize that it's disliked by the person, they ramp it up and it really sticks. It really sticks.
And even though
my name was also unfortunately primed for like, you know, profane variations. Like as a hot takeist in sports, Wyshytski. Like the first time I heard that was probably like third grade, and then I write something on the internet, and somebody on Twitter comes at me with Wyshytski. I'm like, come on, let's be a little bit more creative.
Yeah, man. And even though I moved a lot, and so you know, you have to reinvent yourself when you go to new cities. But I refuse to cross the line and give myself a nickname. You know, I have so much disdain for people that do that. They're like, oh yeah, everyone calls me Maverick. You know, or
something like that. Yeah, it's tough when people push their own nickname. And I've never tried that myself. I've been generally against nicknames, but I'm trying to give people on the show nicknames just as a silly thing to do. And seems like Slappy really likes his so far, Slappy. You've met the players, but before we begin the games, they each have to answer this one question. We'll start again. Sorry, Greg, maybe this time it's good.
Let him go first. Come
maybe
on.
It's good. You get
no, I should definitely go last to him.
Okay, we're going alphabetical. Could you please, Matt Fernandez, could you please recommend one movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. I just saw the new Spider-Man. I mean, I don't think that movie needs to be recommended. The whole world's going to see it. It was pretty good.
Right, though. But there might be some people sitting at home going, you know, everybody's loving it, but what's the real deal with this movie? So, Matt, you really think it's worth the time and trouble?
Yeah, Lol from Wings is made out of dirt the whole time. It's a great time.
Okay, that's one way to describe it. and you're okay with this series of movies, these Spider-Mans going from Homecoming to Far From Home to No Way Home. Like, why is he getting further and further from home?
There's some gaping plot holes in the new one, but other than that, it was pretty fun. If you don't think about them too much.
All right. Matt Fernandez always comes in hot with a recommendation that has, some explanations.
Last time I recommended Antlers and people were like, fuck you, that movie sucks. So now I'm just
Yeah, you just recommend the most popular movie that's out there right now, and hopefully you won't get yelled at too much. Okay, Brian Simpson, what do you think? Could you recommend a movie?
Are there rules? Does it have to be a certain era? Or
no, it's just any movie. I, the idea is just to know about good movies.
The Old Guard on Netflix. Oh no, everyone's seen that. Okay, what about Lucky Number 11?
Lucky number 11
is a very interesting choice.
Josh Hartnett, Bruce Willis, Lucy Liu, Sir Ben Kingsley, Morgan Freeman. It's star-studded.
Yeah, I can barely write out the number, you know, the word seven without, you know, I always want to put that L in there. I just thought Lucky Number 11 is such a funny title to me. But that's a... that's what I'm talking about. That's a movie that like is well liked, but like there's people that probably haven't gotten around to watching it that, you know, now that Brian's brought it up, they might, you know, give it a go.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Awful marketing though.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like, wasn't it a minute late on pushing Bruce Willis as being in it? Like he was just about to step into the home video market.
Oh yeah.
And in a big way.
To be honest, they could have done without Bruce Willis.
I feel that way about a lot of movies where Bruce Willis shows up and he just smirks, you know, he just sits there like, I'm getting a check. And that's pretty much the whole performance. But
to me, it's like Bruce Willis is like the he's like the white Denzel Washington, whereas like they just go, we need someone to play a man on the edge. Just a man that's just about to lose his shit. That's bring him in.
Yeah, you know? But he seems like a relatively calm dude a lot of the time. I don't get it. Like, you know, that was the thing about Bruce Willis. Like, was he a fast talker or was he a strong silent type? He like kind of couldn't make up his mind. That's why Die Hard's his best movie, because he didn't get too much in his head yet at that point. He just played the part and did it perfectly.
It still holds up to Die Hard.
It's so damn good. It's just ridiculous how good it is.
Dude, you know what I watched recently that I was like, I can't believe this is still so good? Is the original Predator.
Oh, okay.
It still holds up after all these years. It's such a good action movie.
Time to bleed.
There's so much. there just became so much Predator stuff that was terrible that it just like kind of ruined the whole Predator, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like Star Wars.
Well, that's what I like about, you know, I just started watching Boba Fett, and of course I watched Mandalorian, and the thing I like about those shows is that they seem to be really trying to recreate like the vibe of the very first two Star Wars movies, you know, like with the Jawas and the, you know, and the basically they're just in the dirty desert all the time. And so I think I just automatically like those shows because they feel like the Star Wars that I still cling to, you know, that I still like. Mm. Greg, you're going to recommend a Star Wars movie.
And no, I'm gonna
jump through this phone and strangle you.
I'm just picturing you standing outside of Rise of Skywalker with a sign that says "Not my Star Wars." I'm just fucking.
But you know, that's the thing is, I still dislike the prequels more than any other aspect of it. But at this point, I do feel like every movie's really on its own, you know, which is why I think I like Rogue One, because it is real so standalone, and you know, and I think it's a decent movie, you know.
The prequels versus sequels thing's interesting. Like I think the sequels contain my least favorite, probably the worst one they ever made, which was Rise of Skywalker, but you know, they also had Last Jedi, which I think is better than any of the other prequels were, but
yeah, I think it's a little bit more uneven in that part. But anyway, what's your,
I'm going to link up a bunch of flicks that are out now into one recommendation. Okay.
Oh, this sounds fun.
All right. So you got Keanu Reeves, who's in The Matrix Resurrections, right? Mm-hmm. You have Jon Favreau and dude who played the Lizard from Spider-Man. And we just lost John Madden, who cameos as himself in this movie. It is the 2000 sports non-classic The Replacements, about the NFL strike and the replacement players that replaced the NFL players. And also known for being one of Gene Hackman's last roles, I think, too. So The Replacements is a pretty decent sports comedy. So I would recommend catching up with it if you haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, but I feel like recommending the Matrix movie kind of
derailed that. So the Matrix movie is interesting because they tried to make, did you see it, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Unfortunately, yeah.
So they tried to make three different movies. Like they tried to make the movie where they get a romance between Neo and Trinity, which is the movie they really wanted to make. And then they tried to make the obligatory, here's what's happened since the last Matrix movie. But the majority of the movie is basically like, fuck you for wanting a fourth Matrix movie. We're going to make fun of you for it. It's basically what it was for like the first 45 minutes of the movie. It was a giant troll job against Warner Brothers and everybody that ever wanted a Matrix sequel, which I do appreciate, but I don't think it all added up to being a very watchable film. Overall,
well, I see. I just feel like I don't, like you said, they tried to make three different movies, and they didn't do a good job at either movie. It was like,
right.
some of the action was cool, but it was like, and like just from the way it started, where it was like they did everything but look at the camera and wink. You know, it was sort of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of like we're matrixing over here. You know, it was like they were too aware of themselves. It was kind of my same problem with the Star Wars thing, right? Where it was like when they wrote the original Star Wars, they were like, hey, we need a giant menacing villain when they approach this base, and so they created the AT-ATs, right? But then in subsequent movies, it's like, well, now we have to service the fans, so now we have to put the AT-AT in the movie and make up a situation, you know, make up a reason why it's there. And it's sort of what's happened with the Matrix, where it's like they're too aware that they're making a Matrix movie and not just focused on telling a good story. I'm talking about Resurrection.
No, I'm saying I don't think the second and third one. I think people were expecting too much of the fourth one, because the second and third ones were both not very good either.
Not very good. There's a line in the new one where they actually said, if they're talking about a Matrix video game, but they actually say, like, if we don't make this, somebody else will. And they just put all their cards on the table, basically like, we don't want to really be doing this, and we don't want to be here, but they're paying us. So let's go.
And then they open themselves up to all these jokes about how the movies were better when the Wachowski sisters were the Wachowski brothers.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's just like
joke, so but hard. Everyone's going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's just strange. The fact that it's on HBO Max, like I feel like that's how I'm going to end up watching it. And I feel a little guilty because I think it'd be better on the big screen, but I also think that I'll be able to overlook its shortcomings if I watch it in a more comfortable,
I tried, Doug. I love the Matrix. I watched the Animatrix, which was good. I played all the video games.
Uh-huh.
Some were good, some were not. And I wanted to so bad, man. Mm. You know what it reminded me of is you ever have a friend that's a piece of shit, but they're really good at staying away just long enough for you to forget, and then you see them again, you go, oh man, fuck, what? I don't know why I hated you so much. Get in here. And then the moment you're comfortable, they show their shitty selves again.
Yeah.
It was like that. I've forgotten how the Matrix has let me down in the past.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, but they've had all these years. They're going to hit a home run with this one. They got Keanu Reeves back. Come on, let's get it. And I just, and I still think if you like the Matrix that you should watch it. But
yeah, you got to be a completist about it and see the whole thing. If, you know, like you say, if you liked any of it, then at least you know, instead of just being like, oh, the Matrix used to be great, now I just, you know, don't watch it anymore. It's like, you kind of want to actually see it for yourself. But those two parts, 2 and 3, let me down in such a big way, especially 3, because I thought that was going to be, oh, this is going to be what happens with a lot of trilogies, where the second one just ends up sort of being like filler and the third one gets back to business, you know? And then when the third one, you know, in that first trilogy ended up being not great, it kind of scarred me on Matrix for life, you know? And I only got a little excited about, because I also think, I just try to imagine, I would almost rather they just make it, could be with Keanu, it could be with anybody, it could also be without Larry Fishburne, but like, go ahead and just make a new movie. Like, I heard there's a show that they had, didn't they have a show on Netflix called Sense8 or something like that?
Yeah.
I heard that was good. Like, why, you know, why do they, I hate when people just have to keep going back to this, well, like, well, you have to keep making Matrix movies, you know, because you started it. Like, now let somebody else take a crack at it, and they should come up with something else that's, you know, a brand new thing.
I think the thing was, like, different perspective.
Yeah. Brian mentioned the action, like, and I think that was actually my biggest disappointment. I actually think the fourth Matrix made the second Matrix look better, because the action in this fourth one, I think they just punted on it. Like, at no point does Keanu Reeves actually pick up a gun in this movie. And it's kind of like, yeah, that's maybe moving things forward a little bit, but it's also a Matrix movie. There's certain expectations you have about a Matrix movie.
Yeah, I want to see some shit get shot up, you know, and it doesn't even have to be people. Like that bank scene in the very first Matrix is just that whole bank gets shot to shit and hardly anybody dies.
Just walls, right? Yeah, walls and columns.
Walls and columns getting fucked up. Like, like they would later be in Christopher Nolan's Inception. All right. So a lot of these directors don't like walls. Thank you for your recommendations and the discussion in general. And we're going to go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to play some games. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and I had gotten the news that SF Sketchfest that I've been talking about on this podcast, because we were going to do Doug Lowe's movies there on January 15th. The whole festival has been postponed to a uncertain date and time because of COVID concerns. So, but I had prepared a game where I was, you know, basically it was a wink to, you know, promoting that I was going to be at Sketchfest. So I figure we might as well play it anyway. and just say that, you know, I'm sorry that Sketchfest isn't happening. I always look forward to it every year, and we had to skip last year for the same reason, but, you know, hopefully it'll happen sometime down the road. But in the meantime, let's play a game called ABCD's Nuts. this is a game that's a spelling game. And, I think Matt's played it before, and Greg, and I'll explain it for you, Brian. You don't really have to be able to spell anything. You just have to know movies and the letter that the title of the movie begins with. So I will essentially take turns going to the three of you. We'll start, you know, alphabetically. We'll start with Matt Fernandez. Matt, I'll give you a letter. In this case, it's going to be the first letter in the phrase, the word Sketchfest. So it's, you know, an S. And then Matt will name any movie that begins with the letter S. But if his psychic powers are in effect and he matches the movie that I've already written down, then he automatically wins the game. And we go through each letter. K would be the next letter for Brian, then E for Greg, Slappy, etc., until we've gone through all of the word Sketchfest. But there's also a theme that'll emerge that you might figure out, and it might help you to match what I wrote down if you figure out what the theme is. It's a very complicated sounding game, but it's pretty simple, and anybody can win. Are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
All right. First letter of Sketchfest is S, so name any movie that begins with the letter S. There's no theme to speak of as of yet because this is the first one.
Seven.
Oh, seven is a great answer. I call it Slevin, of course.
Lucky number seven.
I never get over the poster for the movie Seven, the way they like, yeah, we'll just put a seven instead of a V, and no one will have a problem with that. That makes perfect sense. Okay. So I wrote down the movie Superstar, starring Molly Shannon, for reasons you might understand as we move forward. The next letter is K, Brian. So name any movie that begins with K.
K. Let me ask, can I ask a question first?
Sure.
Are we counting the's? So if it's the K, is that, or?
Typically, for me in this game, I like to say that the is the letter T, but since this is your first time, I will happily accept a title that with at least the next word has to begin with a K after the.
Okay, I'm going to say To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. okay, I said the movie that I wrote down is called Kentucky Fried Movie.
Ah.
Oh.
Oh.
Slappy, the next letter's E.
Well, shit.
Yeah, right?
Every Which Way But Loose.
You know, it's the movie I wrote down does begin with every, so that's pretty exciting how close you got there. But the movie I wrote down is called Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask.
Right.
So now we're back to T in sketch, and that letter goes to Matt. What do you got, polar bear?
Can't figure it out. I'll just go Top Gun.
Always a great, great answer for the letter T. I wrote down tunnel vision. Yeah. Tunnel vision. There's some weird ones in here. The next letter is C for Brian.
C. Wow. That's a hard one. I'm going to say Candyman.
How many times are you going to say it?
Don't do it. Don't play with those powers.
Don't mess around with that.
Don't mess around.
I haven't seen the new one, but I heard they upped it from you have to say it five times now. I guess like it's sort of like those extra security checks on all of our credit cards and stuff these days. You know, you got to say Candyman five times because you got to really mean it.
You say it four times and then your mirror asks you if you're sure.
Yeah. Yeah, are you sure you want to verify continue with this Candyman? but wow, again, you got the first three letters right because I had written down a movie called Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses?
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah. Great title. Great title about masturbating, I guess. Oh. Right, because you're supposed to like if you jerk off too much, that's why you need glasses. Yeah, it was a weird theory. I think it was mostly just to punish, you know, smart nerdy people.
Yeah, it's a real scare tactic, real reefer madness level scare tactic. Mm-hmm. About masturbation. Yeah.
Your turn, Greg. It's an H.
Jeez. Hall Pass.
That is a movie that begins with H. I picked History of the World Part One.
Shit.
Nobody's gonna match me on any of these because it gets too weird. But
random, yeah.
It's still fun though. F is the next letter for Matt.
Fargo.
I couldn't think of a movie that begins with F that fits the theme. So I just wrote down Flarp. So you were definitely not going to get that one. Fargo was a great guess, though. Same number of letters.
Flarp.
Three of the letters are the same, but I said Flarp.
Hey, before you give me mine, can you give me the rest of the previous movies?
Oh, okay. We got Superstar, Kentucky Fried Movie, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex, Tunnel Vision, Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses, History of the World Part One, Flarp is a made-up movie, and then E is the next letter for Brian.
Oh, shit. That didn't help at all. I'm going to say Yeah, was it End of the World?
Oh, I like that. But no.
Hmm.
I went with Extreme Movie. Greg, this is a great opportunity for you to swoop in with the S. Have you figured, do you think you know the what the theme is?
Oh no, I definitely know what the theme is. I just don't know what would be. Oh shit! Yes, I do. Scary Movie.
Oh no!
Ah,
Scary Movie.
Shit.
I wrote down Stuart Saves His Family.
Now, okay. There's two different themes I thought it could be, and now I know it's not the one I thought it was, but it could definitely be the other one.
All right. Well, this is the last one, and you know, there doesn't have to be a winner to this game, but Matt Fernandez, first of all, do you think you know what the theme is?
I have no idea.
All right, I'm just going to tell you then, because it's still not going to help you enough.
Great.
The theme is movies that are a series of sketches or are based on a sketch.
Oh, based on a sketch, yeah. Shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Ladies' Man.
The Ladies' Man is an excellent guest for that category, featuring the great Tim Meadows. And Julianne Moore dressed up like a clown that likes to fuck. But I wrote down a sketch movie from the same people that, you know, the gang behind The State and Wet Hot American Summer and lots of great movies. It was called The Ten. Mm. And Paul Rudd was in it too. But anyway,
that was a
tough one, but everybody, everybody gets, you know, gold stars for all of your attempts. I thought everybody did terrific under the circumstances, but we're going to go back to, in this next game, it's going to be back to alphabetical order, since the winner would normally get to go first in the next game. Since we didn't have a winner, we'll go back to the same order, and we'll do that right after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and this is a tight matchup because no one's won anything yet. But we're having fun. That's the
wire.
That's the important thing. So we're having a nice time. And Matt Fernandez, you get to go first in this next game. That I think you three guys are going to love this game. I try not to, you know, do too much prepping of games for specific guests, but I think this one is going to be in everybody's wheelhouse. The game is called Princess Diarrhea.
All right.
Because that's what I call the Princess Diary movies, and I don't know shit about them. So this game is to determine which one of the three of you knows the most, who knows the most shit about Princess Diary movies. Yeah.
No one's going to win anything at this rate.
It's going to be so exciting. No, but here's the great thing is that each of these questions has three potential answers. The answer is either Princess Diaries or Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement, or both. So I'm going to tell you a fact that either applies to the first Princess Diaries, the second Princess Diaries, or both. First person gets to guess. If they get it wrong, second person gets to guess. If they get it wrong, third person gets a gimme. And it happens in games like this. You could score a point just by remembering which of the three answers hasn't been said yet. We'll start with Matt Fernandez. What do you, just off the top of your head, do you have any thoughts about Princess Diaries?
I think Anne Hathaway was in it.
Very good. Very
that's
good.
That's all I got.
Very good. That's, you know, that's all most men have, I think. And even lots of women. These movies were, I guess they were popular with like teenage girls at the time.
It would be really weird if I knew a lot about it.
I think so. Yeah. That's part of the fun. But I thought, you know, when I was preparing this, I thought, oh, it'd be fun if there was an episode where there's a woman or two on the panel and they would be more familiar with these movies. And there isn't. So we'll see how you guys do. Matt Fernandez gets first crack at this one. Princess Diaries 1, 2, or both. The fact is, it has Hector Elizondo in it.
Oh, boy.
The great character actor Hector Elizondo. Still alive. Still working.
I'll go both.
You're saying that you think Hector Elizondo, who appeared in every single movie directed by the late, great Gary Marshall. You think that he was in both Princess Diaries and Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement?
Sure, let's go for it.
That is correct.
Really? Yes! That is correct.
You
wow.
nailed it.
Sweet. Yeah.
Great job. You're on the board. You have 1 point. It's a race to 2 points. This next one, we start with Brian. Are you ready, Brian?
Yep.
What do you know about Princess Diaries?
Nothing, mostly.
So it's going to be all instinct. You're going to have to go with your gut on this. Princess Diaries 1, 2, or both has Sandra Oh in it.
2.
Sandra Oh. Brian Simpson is taking a swing, saying Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement. I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh. Well. Sorry.
All right, so that means we go to Greg. And what do you think it is, Greg? Do you think of the remaining answers, which one would you pick?
So the remaining answers are the first one or both of them?
Hey, if you say so, I'm not keeping track of that shit.
I'll go the first one. She's you're in the going, first one.
You're saying Sandra Oh is in Princess Diaries number one.
Sideways is own, Sandra Oh, yes.
I love that movie, Sideways.
Me too. I an eminently rewatchable movie.
It's so good. And unfortunately, also so relatable. Like yes. We were talking earlier about the having a friend that's a piece of shit. And we were also talking about the Sandman from Spider-Man. And what's his name on Wings, Matt?
Lowell.
Lowell on Wings. Why can't I think of his real name now? It's three names.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, that's okay, it. There you go.
Also, Giamatti played the Rhino in the second Andrew Garfield Spider-Man too. So two spider villains.
Oh my goodness. The Rhino.
Remember that? He was in a giant mech suit for like 2 minutes in that movie.
Yeah. Terrible Russian voice.
He certainly did.
they did not ask the Rhino to be in this latest
movie. No.
Somebody should draw a cartoon, you know, draw a picture of a guy in a rhino suit sitting by his mailbox looking sad, like waiting for the call. Like that's how you find out you're in the new Spider-Man is through snail mail. Okay. So Greg guessed what?
The first one.
Oh, you're saying Princess Diaries 1 has Sandra Oh in it. That is correct. You did it.
Goddamn.
This is so exciting. This is a really, we're getting there faster than I wanted to, but this is an exciting finish, and we'll have lots of time to plug all of our projects and stuff at the end. If Matt gets this one right, he wins the game. But if he misses, Brian has a chance to make this a three-way tie in the classic new game, Princess Diarrhea. Matt?
What? The fuck you want?
It has Chris Pine in it.
Oh.
Princess Diaries 1, Princess Diaries 2, or both?
I'll say the first one.
You're going Princess Diaries 1 has Chris Pine, Captain Tiberius T. Kirk, James Tiberius.
James Tiberius.
Tiberius J. T. Kirk. That edible I had before the show is really kicking in. You're saying Chris Pine is in Princess Diaries 1.
Sure. Let's do it.
All right.
Go for it.
I always love your attitude.
Yes, before you even ask the question.
You have a go for it attitude, and I love it. But unfortunately, that answer is incorrect.
Don't. Oh, yeah. Darn.
Yeah. Chris Pine is not. The answer is not part one. It could be both, or it could be part two. Brian, which do you think it is? And I'm sorry, Greg, I didn't recap for you earlier, but then I did for Brian. So that's
it's fine.
That's
it's
patently quite right. Unfair.
Quite all right.
Here we are.
Quite all right. Here
we are. I'm going to say both.
You're going to go both?
Yep.
It's an interesting choice, Brian. I really appreciate you coming on the show, giving it your all. But unfortunately, both is incorrect.
Oh!
I know, right? This is such a sad ending. Because now, Greg, it's like, in your world, Greg, it's like the goalie had something to go, he had something to go do. And everyone else is just fighting. It's like in a movie scene in a hockey movie where everyone's too busy fighting to notice you just racing, just sliding the puck right towards the goal and winning the big game with just one point, the one point you needed. But go ahead and say it to make it official. Chris Pine is in it.
I'm a little distracted by how easily you just did my job. I think there's no reason I should continue on as a hockey writer. Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement would be my final answer.
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
That is the answer. You are the winner. We will have you back on another show soon. I'm sorry, Matt Fernandez. Your time as a dangling champ has come to an end.
That was the last game?
For now. For now.
That's what you closed with?
Well, you know, we play three games when we when we have an audience, and it's a longer show, but this is a tighter version, and then today is super tight because this went quicker than I expected it to go. I thought you'd all have an equal amount of knowledge about Princess Diaries, which of course would be no knowledge at all. I thought you'd be equally unknowledgeable. The fourth and tie-breaking question was going to be Raven Simone is in it. Yeah, what would you guess on that one?
Both.
Two.
I'd say both, probably.
So Brian's the only one that said two? It's too little, too late, Brian, but you got one right.
Damn.
Yes!
Wow.
I am unstoppable at this.
That is so Raven, what you just did.
Yeah, she and Chris Pine were farting around in part two, weren't even in the first one. So Yeah. I don't know. And then I guess they might've made some moves to like made one without Anne Hathaway or something and without Gary Marshall. But I don't know how the, I don't even know how many books the Princess Diary movies were even based on in the first place. This has been a real education, gentlemen. I appreciate you you joining me and learning more about Princess Diary movies. And like I said, we'll have you back soon, Greg. But let's go ahead and do your plugs. What would you like to plug?
Yeah, you can read my stuff on ESPN.com. You can watch me on Daily Wager on ESPN2, which is our gambling show. I come on and do hockey bet stuff. And go to patreon.com/pucksoup for pop culture writing and for the other podcasts I do, including Mise-en-Pod, which is our food TV podcast. We just did an hour on the Food Network standard Beat Bobby Flay in all of its glory. So that's patreon.com/pucksoup.
And what'd you think about that recent thing where Bobby Flay was like, well, I'm leaving the Food Network, and everyone looks at each other like, well, isn't Bobby Flay the Food Network? Aren't they like synonymous with each other?
And so then, what's interesting about that is that it's all on like Discovery Plus, which is like, you know, where the Food Network puts all its shit that's not on the Food Network. I think they tried to develop several different shows that are like the Bobby Flay shows in case he left. Right. But then he stuck around. So there's a lot of shows that are like, beat Alex Gornishelli, throw down with this bald guy. Like, there's a whole bunch of shows they developed in case he left, but then he stuck around. So they'd have to dump him on their like streaming service now.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was interesting that they basically, you know, he announced that he was leaving, but it was just a ploy to get more money out of them.
Yeah.
And they could have just done all that behind the scenes. We didn't need to drag us into it. But because I was like, where the fuck does he think he's going to go?
Well, that's just it. I mean, as we cover on Mise-en-Pod, he's a pulsating asshole. So it's not exactly something too out of character for Bobby Flay.
It's up right now. I'm podcasting. Sorry about that. My landline just rang, and I picked up the phone and got to say the thing I love to say is I can't talk right now. I'm podcasting, and then just hanging up. Anyway, so, well, thank you for clearing that up, Greg. I have a friend whose dog is named Bobby Flay, and it's an adorable dog, but you know, there is that issue of the real Bobby Flay being not so great. Matt Fernandez.
Yo.
What do you got to plug, buddy?
Oh, January 6th through the 9th, I'll be at Carolina Comedy Club in Myrtle Beach. You can watch my hour special on Amazon, and you can follow me on Twitter at Fat Fernandez and Instagram at I Am Matt Fernandez. That is all.
That is it. Well, pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have you as usual. I will certainly be reaching out again soon, either when I'm in Florida or you're in LA, or you know, any of those things could happen. And and first timer about
Princess Diaries.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, we learned a lot together, and also awesome first time guest on the show. I woke up and paid attention to you when we did that that asphalt comedy show in LA, the outdoor comedy. You were so funny that night, and I looked you up on Twitter and saw that you were following me, and then, you know, now here we are. So keep up the good work, and I can't wait to see the stand-ups.
Thank you.
On Netflix. Yes. Anything else? Any live dates you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be in it's all next year. I'm going to be in the Netflix Fest in April here in LA.
And
I'm going to be in West Nyack in January 13th through the 16th.
Beautiful mall they got there.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in Madison, Wisconsin, February 24th through the 26th.
Love that town. Love that club. Comedy on State.
Yeah, Comedy on State. Yeah. But you can just go, if you go to my Instagram, it's in my link tree, all my dates.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Brian Simpson. And, Thank you. Before we go, let's talk for a second about, does anybody have, at the end of every episode lately, I've been just saying the last line from a movie, which are often just, you know, just boring lines that aren't that particularly interesting, but sometimes, you know, they're just, there's some classic ones. But does anybody have, of the three of you, do you have any favorite last movie lines?
A polar bear fell on me.
Right, I know. I did that one already. Of course.
Oh, okay.
That's such a good one. But yeah.
Oh, like it's got to be the last line of the movie.
Yeah, which gets tricky now because of all these bonus scenes that they keep putting in the end credits and at the end of the movie. So then, what truly is the last line of the movie? But I like to think like the last line before the, you know, before the credits initially begin to roll, because that's traditionally where most movies end. You don't have to think of one. It's just most people don't have one. It's not really something.
Oh, I know which
think
one.
About.
I know.
You,
which one? You know, the last line it matters because that's the point where, you know, how when you see a good movie in the theater, how there's that collective satisfaction, like you had a good meal or something.
Yeah.
And the last line counts. And the last time I had that great feeling, it was, the truth is, I'm Iron Man. Boom, credits.
Boom, right. Credits. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that is a good one. Greg, do you have one? Have I asked you this before, Greg?
You have, and I referenced Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow, and I can't think of a good last line at this moment.
Well, I came up with one that, or, you know, found one that I think is, you know, a good one, especially for this time of year. We're closing out the holiday season, and this is a movie that people, you know, watch a lot this time of year. So that's what I'm going to go with today. Thank you again.
Ooh, to, wait. Can I change my mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear another one. It's, you know, it's not really changing it. It's just
because I like this movie more than the last movie. I'm going to say the greatest trick the devil ever pulled.
Oh, hell yeah.
Was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Right.
Usual Suspects.
Yeah, that's another one that I've probably done already, because it really is a classic ending line that wraps everything up pretty nicely. They're hard to come by, and like a lot of times the ending line is like, okay, I'll see you at 7, or what, you know, or I'll see you at 11. You know, it's always something kind of you know, just mundane, and this one's not the greatest ending line, but that's how I'm going to close the show today anyway. One more time, I'll say thank you to Brian Simpson, Matt Fernandez, and Greg Wyszynski, who will be back very soon. And as always, Kevin, what did you do to my room?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in